Good evening. On behalf of the Philadelphia Bible Church International, we would like to express our sincere gratitude to Pastor Randy and for the members of this church for allowing us to join you this evening. This is indeed a special week for all of us as Christians. Back home in the Philippines, today is, right now it's evening time here. And in the Philippines already morning, Friday morning. And as you would be watching your CNN news or MSNBC or Fox channel, maybe on Friday or on Sunday, there would be some kind of news about, you know, the Philippines. The reason that I am sharing this with you is because Friday it's a big kind of day for all the Filipinos. A lot of Filipinos would go to some places and do some kind of reflection to the extent of doing some kind of punishment to their physical bodies. And literally tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Philippine time, others would be crucified on the cross. They would do it literally. But thank God, we as Christians, we understand what the Bible says about the suffering of our Savior, His death and His burial and His resurrection. There's a verse in the Bible before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He uttered this phrase, "It is finished." Thank God, because salvation has been provided to all of us. We are sinners who come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And thank God, because we realize that we are all sinners. And God has provided this hope for all of us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anyone would come to Him by faith, the Bible says, he would receive that gift of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen to that. Pastor Randy had been reading the whole chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And tonight, allow me to read just two verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Beginning verse number 34 to 35, the Bible says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Our text tonight has a special place in my heart for all the American Christians. Why did I say that? At the end of 18th century and early years of the 19th century, the Americans did their best to reach out the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the countries who have been recipient to your mission endeavor, I would say we as Filipinos. The penetration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ came to the Philippines early of 19th century. It's because of this text, I would say. The application literally of this text. When the Bible says, love must be evident through our actions. It's easy to say that I love you. And somebody said, words are cheap. I thank God because by actions we can demonstrate to the world that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you could sum up God in one word, what would that word be? Would it be almighty? Would it be omnipotent? Or possibly creator? Any one of this would be a legitimate answer. You see, Christians, God is almighty. The Bible says He is omnipotent. The Bible says He is also the creator of the heavens and the earth. But the word that I'm looking tonight for is love. I'm sure that everyone here tonight would agree that God is indeed love. Think about everything that He has done for you out of love. Think about all that He has done for all of us out of love. He has done so much for me that I could not even begin to, you know, to imagine or to list everything in my life. My family, my health, the Filipino church, the ministry. But most of all, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, being my Savior. One of the biggest responses of people when we share the plan of salvation is that they cannot understand how God can forgive the despicable things that they have done. How can anyone forgive a murderer, an adulteress, a thief, a liar? It truly is amazing at how can forgive, you know, God can forgive any one of us. He does it because of His unconditional love. That's what the Bible says. God loves us so much. Just what should be our response to the love of God? Just how should we react to this powerful gift of grace that God has given us? What does He want our, you know, our response to His eternal love? Here's the setting from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples are in the upper room. It is the Last Supper. Judas has already left to do his wicked deed of betrayal. The Lord Jesus Christ and the 11 disciples are still at the table. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them how He wants them to carry on, how He wants them to live after He's gone. And this is what He says. Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I love you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for one another, for each other. Now you have probably heard sermons about the love command many times. But this new command must be important. It is part of the final words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. Kind of His, you know, deathbed wishes. But He doesn't say, guys, let me make a few suggestions about how you might live in the future after I'm gone. No, He says, let me give you a new command. First, look with me at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 34, a new command I give you, love one another. So far in His teachings up to this point, the Lord Jesus Christ has taught His disciples to love their enemies, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength, to love their neighbors as themselves. This is the first time, however, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given them the very specific command to love one another. But why is this new command needed when God's people already had the commands to love the neighbors as themselves? If we take a look at Jewish life in the first century, we realize that there was not much love shown among their own people. They were greatly divided at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ gave this command. They did not love the aliens in their land. Many hated the Romans at the time. They did not love their neighbors as themselves. In fact, the Bible says, they despise the Samaritans. Loving one another was something they knew. In fact, we got a glimpse of the situation in Corinth when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. You can see what the Lord Jesus Christ needs to give this command clearly and give it special emphasis. In fact, at the end of his ministry in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed again for this cause. John 17, verse 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Notice, our love is a testimony to the whole world. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for the same thing he said to his disciples here in our passage this evening. John chapter 13, verse number 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love what? One another. The Lord Jesus Christ was calling his disciples back to the basics. If we cannot love one another within the household of faith, then we certainly cannot love God, our neighbors, foreigners, and our enemies as we should. How would the world know that our God is a God of love? How would they come to understand the love of the Lord Jesus Christ unless they see this love in me? Unless people would see this love in you. The prayer the Lord Jesus Christ made in John chapter 17 must be our constant prayer today. Our love for one another will allow the world to experience the reality of God's love in our midst. You know, we as Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the command, love one another. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not stop there. He added a qualifying phrase to this new command. He says, as I have loved you. And I call that one his commitment. The first one, we have noticed, you know, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one here, the second phrase here, tells us the commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did not teach us some doctrines or some theory. He has never called us to do something that was impossible or cannot be done. When he said, love your enemies, he knew it could be done. He showed it himself. The disciples saw him every day for 3 years and experienced it firsthand, what it means to be loved by Jesus. And now they were told to love the way he loved. They knew it was real. It was love, not in words, but in action. When they look, you know, at Jesus' love for the people, it was what? It was undeniable. When we look at the Gospels, the authors often describe how the Lord Jesus Christ loves the people. Take, for example, at the tomb of Lazarus, the people said, look, John chapter 11, verse number 36, look how much he loved him. Mark wrote in chapter 10, verse 21, that when Jesus saw the rich young ruler who came looking for him, he looked at him and loved him. Matthew wrote, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Matthew 9, verse 36. John describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. In his last message to his disciples in John 15, the Lord Jesus Christ declares that he loves them as much as his Father loved him. His love was undeniable. His disciples and the people were able to see that love, not just hear about it. The Lord Jesus Christ provided concrete examples of love day after day. It's like, you know, Christians, it's like teaching our children. Things cannot be taught simply by saying, you know, or just keep telling them and not ask parents, you know, not doing it. we have to show them how to tie their shoes, how to use the scissors. We show them, and then we say, now you do it just like I did it. And now he said it plainly to his disciples, giving them a command to do the same. By his actions, the Lord Jesus Christ left no room for doubting his love. And neither can we, Christians. His love was undeniable. They have experienced it. They have embraced it. They knew that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them. When others look at us, what do they see? Will they find love? Can we love the way the Lord Jesus Christ loves? Romans 5, verse number 5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Christians, God has given us a deposit in our hearts. Can we love the way he loves? Can we love our enemies? Yes? Yes? If not, the Lord Jesus Christ would not have said it. If it cannot be done. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to verse number 8, then jump to verse number 11 to verse number 12, says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse number 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Only when we know him, when you know him, when you come back to God, you can love the way the Lord Jesus Christ loves. He is the source of that love. Apart from him, what we have is just what we call human love. The unceasing capacity to love can only come from God, our Father. The disciples have seen the Lord Jesus Christ living a life of compassion and love. He lived what he taught. This is the object lesson in real life. When others look at you, what do they see? What stands out most for you? Will they say you're a generous person? Will they say you are such a caring person? Will they say you are a forgiving or a helpful person? Or will they say you are a loving person? The Lord Jesus Christ expects that from us, to love one another. Let me conclude this message tonight by this interesting story. A young orphan boy lived with his grandmother. One night their house caught fire. The grandmother, trying to rescue the little boy asleep upstairs, perished in the fire. A crowd gathered around the burning house. The boy's cries for help were heard. No one seemed to know what to do, for the front of the house was a mass of flames. Suddenly, a stranger rushed from the crowd and circled to the back, where he spotted an iron pipe that reached an upstairs window. He disappeared for a minute and then reappeared with the boy in his arms. Amid the cheers of the crowd, he climbed down the hot pipe as the boy hung around his neck. Weeks later, a public hearing was held in the town hall to determine in whose custody the boy would be placed. Its person wanting to adopt the boy was allowed to speak briefly. The first man said, I have a big farm. The boy will have a big place to play. The second man told of the advantages he could provide. I am a teacher. I have a large library. He would get a good education. Another spoke. Finally, a rich man in the community said, I am wealthy. I could give the boy everything mentioned tonight, farm, education, and more, including money and travel. I'd like him in my home. The chairman asked if anyone else like to say a word. From the backseat rose a stranger who had slipped in unnoticed. As he walked toward the front, deep suffering showed on his face. Reaching the front of the room, he stood directly in front of the little boy. The boy, whose eyes had been focused on the floor until now, looked up and saw that this man's hands were terribly scarred. Suddenly, the boy cried out. He recognized this man. Here was the man who had saved his life. His hands were scarred from climbing up and down the hot pipe. With a leap, the boy threw himself around the stranger's neck and held on for life. It was obvious whom the boy wanted to stay with. The farmer won the boy's heart without a word. He won him with his love. Love speaks more effectively than any words. Our lives had been changed because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, let others, let your friends, let your classmates, let your neighbors see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. The Bible says, love one another. Thank you.